And we're going to stay with COVID and its impact on our health system. The CEO of the HSE, Paul Reid, is with us. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Mary.
And let's start with that latest news coming of that travel ban because of these growing fears about this new variant emerging in southern Africa. We're already in the grip of a Delta surge. I mean, how worried are you about the potential impact this new variant could have on the health system?
Yeah, I think our own Department of Health issued a statement on this last night in terms of how they're monitoring it. But obviously the concern in terms of any variant is that, you know, can potentially evade the body's immune response and make it more transmissible, which we know from Delta can have significant impacts. There's no case identified yet in the UK or in the EU as we understand it, but certainly in South Africa, I think there's about 59 cases identified yesterday. And in one province in particular where the positivity rate went from about 1% to 30% in about 3 weeks. So it would have an obvious cause concern, but I know the WHO are meeting with South African authorities today, and you just heard the other statements made from the EU. So we await to see the further assessment through our own department, and they'll obviously have no doubt between CMO keeping government advised. And, you know, does this move from a variant of interest to a variant of concern? And that's what our Department of Health will be monitoring.
And you and other senior management in the health system in the last week have been describing the strain on the health system and the hospital system as grim and very grim. Has that changed at all in the last week in terms of the numbers in hospital and ICU and the pressure on the system?
I think the reality is we're still hovering around this 600 mark of people in hospital. Right last night it was at 556 and 126 people in ICU, positive COVID patients. But that will slightly increase, I've no doubt, this morning. So we're still hovering around that number. I think a couple of things we would take some comfort from, but far too early with the strain we are having in our hospital system. And certainly the actions that we took last week to try and mitigate a lot of the risk across our hospital system by, you know, keeping a priority focus on urgent elective care and indeed COVID patients, trying to further scale up our ICUs, which we're doing at the minute, for the use of private hospitals, for the use of step-down beds in the community. There are actions we've taken to mitigate the risk, but still high risk in our hospitals. But what I would take encouragement from is, which is the public's response. I think the public have really got it once again and understood fully the high-risk situation that we're in and the public actions, which is our first lines of defence. But public have taken that do make a big difference to us, and the real challenge is now that we need to sustain that now, because yes, we're still at high risk in our hospital situation, and the public's response is very welcome and encouragement, but we really need to sustain this now for a period of time.
Let's talk about the testing centres. We had a quick check this morning, and by our count there are only four centres: Donegal, Mayo, I think Shannon Airport and one other in Roscommon, that have available slots for testing today. So the system is still overburdened.
Yeah, and just to explain what we are doing and the current situation, if just over the last 7 days up to last night, there's now over 210,000 PCR tests completed in our labs. And if you remember this figure of 15,000 tests in the community per day that we had, we scaled it up to 20,000, but over the last week we're having days of 26,000 and over. And we're still having very high positivity rates of transmission levels in the community, between 15 and 19%. What we have done to further scale up is extra centres, extra hours. We brought on further private capacity in three of the airports. Next week we will bring on three further centres through private capacity. We're also scaling up our own workforce and the Defence Forces and redeployment of our own staff to it for their pop-up clinics from the National Ambulance Service. But I do want to make the point, Mary, you know, it's not elastic and it's not infinite, the resource that we can put into this. So what we are doing is prioritising those clinically referred through GP general practice and also symptomatic close contacts. So certainly some people who are self-referring are experiencing delays, and I want to acknowledge that. But what I will say to people, what is really important, if anybody's experienced delay, it's ultimately key that everybody does isolate if you're symptomatic, and it's really key that you continue to isolate for at least 48 hours after your symptoms dissipate. So, you know, we will get to people, and we are getting to, the vast majority of people are getting same day and next day service.
You are asking them to be patient, and I thought it was noticeable the other night that even your swabbers and testers were reporting people getting just a little bit more irritable about those delays.
And we understand that, and we've been communicating strongly over the last few days to explain the reality of the situation, and I think it's incumbent on me and on behalf of the HSE to explain the reality. But that's a massive scale up that we have have put in place. It's a massive engagement of extra capacity, extra hours, extra centres, private capacity. But we are doing this at a time where we're, you know, severely challenged to resource up, which we have done, which I'm happy to talk to you on the booster programme, but also the significant strain across the health system from our GPs, general practice, our hospitals and our community services. So it is challenging, but look at the volume. There are over 1 million PCR tests completed in a 6-week period. On any given week now, we're testing between 4 and 5, the equivalent of between 4 and 5% of the population. You know, they are massive numbers by any health system.
Let's talk about the vaccines, and we'll talk about the boosters in a minute, but it looks like the European Medicines Agency has green-lighted vaccines for children from 5. It looks like NIAC will follow on. Are you ready to deliver?
You know, firstly, we welcome that decision. It's by the EMA. It's obviously under consideration now by the National Immunisation Advisory Committee, and ultimately it'll be a decision for a government recommendation, which we expect. From our perspective, we are not waiting on that. We're working through, first of all, the delivery schedule from the suppliers of the vaccine, and all indications are all across Europe that will be towards the end of December. What we are doing immediately is finalising what would the operating model, how would we bring through, with parents' consent, children through vaccination centres, general practice, pharmacy. I want to seek, and have asked my own team to put together a process where we will engage with parents to get their view about what would be important for them in terms of bringing children forward for vaccination. We want to make it a very safe environment and a pleasant environment for young children. So we will seek their views by various processes that we will engage with parents.
What is the thinking so far? I mean, would you consider a rollout through the school system, which is used, of course, for delivering other vaccinations?
Well, we look at all options, but the reality of it is there's, you know, over 3,500 primary schools, and we do have a very significant vaccination centre infrastructure all across the country. So we want to do it in the most efficient way. Once we get the clearance, once we get delivery of the schedule, there's about 480,000 young children in scope. So we do see the primary channels that we have between vaccination centres, GPs and pharmacies. But we won't be ruling out the option of schools either. But we will bring forward the recommendations to the Minister.
And it can't be one or the other. It can't be roll out of vaccination to children at the expense of the continuation of the booster programme. Can you do both?
Well, the reality of what we're doing right now is we're doing all, we're doing both. If you take the current booster programme, we're working across all the different groupings or cohorts recommended by NIAC. So if you take today, we've now 630,000 boosters completed and 76,000 third doses for immunocompromised. And right now we're working across long-term care facilities, practically complete, just to revisit some with outbreaks, over 80s, 85% complete, 70s, 79s with great work by our GPs, now two-thirds of those complete with 215,000. 60s to 69s now well advancing because more people are eligible for that through our vaccination centres. And indeed, with healthcare workers, over 60% of them completed now. So the model now is a parallel working through agreed groups that have come based on eligibility, and a combination of appointment-driven vaccination centres and specific, from this weekend and the next week, specific centres offering at specific times a walk-in facility for those who are eligible in the age
brackets.
And
just remind us, will you, again, for those who are eligible who can go to walk-in centres, are these people over 60 who are already 5 months, have 5 months gap between vaccines?
Yes, Mary, thanks for clarifying. That's what it will mean. And from this weekend, what I encourage everybody to watch our site, hse.ie. From this weekend and into next week, we'll be specifically focusing on the 60 to 69-year-olds and healthcare workers initially. And that will be a combination, as I say, appointment-driven, but walk-in facility at specific sites at specific times. But the key point is, if you are in that age bracket, first of all, but secondly, that you are in at least the 5 month eligibility criteria, so 5 months from your second vaccine. Unfortunately, it won't be possible for us to give a booster to somebody who is not in those age brackets or cohorts that we're doing, and B, is not within that 5 month eligibility criteria.
And when can you get to the 50 and upward age group? Because they're cleared as well for a booster.
Yeah, and as I say, very strong progress. If you look at the scale we're now operating at, last week alone, almost 200,000 vaccines administered. So we've scaled up very significantly. We now have this parallel working, as I say. It's now given us the opportunity to bring forward rather than where we might have planned towards the end of December for over 50. So that's not going to be brought forward to the middle of December. And we're also now starting from next week The medically vulnerable group, there's about 470,000 in that group, minus the ones who are we've already done to the third dose. And that those people will be starting to receive appointments from this weekend and coming forward for vaccination from next week. So all across all the groups, really
strong
progress.
What is the rate of no-show? Because I heard figures earlier in the week of booster no-shows between 25 and 50%.
We have had in some centres across the country, and we're putting in some processes to try to do that. So we are contacting people more proactively now and to ensure appointments are kept. There has been some issues where people may have an appointment in the vaccination centre and obviously have got it in the pharmacy. We're strengthening that facility and the software so that we can at least take that appointment down as the pharmacies are doing it. So we're putting in some changes and processes in place, and equally for a person if they are notified of appointment, that they can notify us back through our site that they've got their appointment somewhere else in another location. So we do expect to see that, and all evidence we're seeing from vaccination centres, and I've been in some from last weekend, you know, strong numbers of people now coming through, strong queuing. We are getting through them efficiently as we can, but we've certainly seen a massive scale up.
Paul Reid, Chief Executive of the HSE, thank you for your time.